Welcome to Radio Radar episode 101. Boy, that 100th episode was a lot of fun, guys, right?
If only we had pressed record.
Amazing.
Well, it'll just be lost to time. Or we'll do it again some other time, maybe. Maybe we'll record 100 when we have more time. But we don't right now. It is a crazy busy time here at Games Radar. I'm Henry Gilbert, the host of the show, and I'm here with...
Lorenzo Valoria.
Lucas Sullivan.
Nashley Reed.
Nashley?
And Ashley.
Nashley.
Ashley with apostrophe.
Apostrophe and Nashley Reed. We're having fun, guys, right?
Yeah. Always, as always.
It's been a long while since I've been in here. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been some time. Tony was keeping you out of here, I think. He ran in and would like shove you out of the way and just slam the door and be like, nope.
No, Lucas.
Kneecap me as I'm walking across the
Nancy Kerrigan'd you, if I may make a 20-year-old reference.
Oh, man.
Right over my head.
That was a bit dark.
At least Ashley knew.
Okay, the ice skater.
Sitting in the airport, and I saw a tribute to Christy Yamaguchi. And I was like, well, this bronze statue of her face makes her look like an ancient character.
That's weird.
It was so bizarre.
How bizarre?
Very bizarre.
How bizarre.
Yeah.
What airport was this?
It was the San Francisco airport. Oh. It was in the United Terminal.
If you
guys wanted to know this information.
There's a lot of weird stuff in that terminal. Like there's a lot of like weird art installations. And McDonald's. You know, the one thing I don't like about this SFO is that when I'm flying, like I don't have much McDonald's these days, especially not the breakfast ones. And
sure. Mm-hmm.
The only time I can treat myself to that greasy garbage is when I'm at the airport, and then when like SFO just wants to have healthier options, like ugh, stupid.
Fuck them.
It's the best excuse because it's like, oh, I got an early flight. I could just eat a pile of garbage that'll hold in my stomach for the duration of the flight, and all here is some on delay breakfast burritos.
On delay,
some deli BS.
Like, yeah.
Have you ever been to the SFO? Have you been there yet?
Maybe.
Guys, we're off to a great start for a lean podcast.
It was for E3.
Yeah, you know, let's get right into it. The top seven.
Video games. Yes.
The top seven for this week. The top seven video game bosses you don't actually fight.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert for this stuff.
Alert.
Shut off this podcast.
just right now.
Whether or not you've played these games, just turn it off.
We should all just leave.
We will make you re-experience spoilers.
Also,
very
I do.
Sad.
I apologize for no sound effects this week, guys. But I didn't follow Tony's instructions. Like I was really, I
didn't obey.
I hope Tony is listening to this and he knows how much like I depended on him. It's like now I'm really missing.
I don't know
him.
How you're gonna cut this afterwards. Yeah. I mean, it's gonna be.
I know how to do that.
It's gonna be like a jungle guide with a machete just hacking through,
smashing on the keyboard. It's like that scene from Zoolander.
Now, in terms of spoilers, I think there's a good rule: 2 days for a TV show, 2 months for a movie, 2 years for a game. And these all fit that bill.
And a decade for a book?
Okay, yeah. The second one, it does. We just passed 2 years.
Well, one of these
we?
Actually...
No, we didn't.
No, we did not.
Oh, God.
Number two on this list. Look, let's just get started. Number seven. Number seven. Dr. Lobato from Psychonauts.
Yes, this one got me good when I was playing Psychonauts for the first time because... Mm-hmm. It's Dr. Lobato is like the classic mad scientist. He's literally pulling kids' brains out of their heads and putting them in jars.
Yes.
And you'd figure that you'd fight this guy, face to face.
They
slap
set him
around.
Up a lot in the game. Like,
they
you
do.
You see him in a lot of cutscenes.
Put
and
him
he's,
in his place.
He's the classic villain in like a tower high above the camp, and mm-hmm. he's always cackling. But no, you never actually fight him. And now that I'm thinking about it, I don't even remember... What happens to him?
He falls into a Disney-style bottomless pit. Like a lot
out of nowhere.
I mean, of course.
I believe that I forget the character's name, but your drill sergeant...
Coach Oleander.
Yeah, he turns out to be the actual bad guy that you will fight at the
Spoiler.
End. And so he betrays Lobato and throws him out the window. I
like, rightfully
like
so.
Darth Vader Emperor style, like over his head, and he's like,
yeah, maybe. I can't remember that much exactly, but I do know this, the thing I just said. Lobato was okay, but I mean, yeah. Oleander was a more cool, like,
yeah,
anyway.
That was a better twist.
And it was a good bookend, because you start the game in his mind, and they put in a little secret in the beginning. Well, not a secret, but like a foreshadowing of, you know, Raz. He sees the, you know, locked the vault in his brain, and Oleander's like, hey.
Get away from
that. Stop that.
Is that what that's about? That's about as far as I got into this game.
You should go all the way. It's good.
Well, the Napoleon stage, it takes a long time.
Not that bad.
Well, then the meat circus isn't all that fun either.
Debatable.
Henry, you're wrong. That's what Lucas just said.
Number six! Thorn. From Tron 2.0.
Who actually
played
this
game? Ryan loves this game. I know nothing about it other than I tried to play the demo on my old computer. My video card wasn't good enough, so it told me to get the F out. That was the last I heard.
So, I forget. Is Tron 2.0 the one based on the film, or was it the one that came out before the film?
At the time, it was like, this is canonically a sequel to the first movie.
Because you'll never get... nobody will be crazy enough to make an actual film sequel to Tron.
Yeah.
And lo and behold...
With Bam.
Yeah, it was a good movie. It was good.
I like the sequel.
It was okay.
Well, look, the original Tron, isn't even that good either.
The original Tron is a little... It's weird. Like,
it's like...
This guy that gets zapped into a computer...
It's like what people in the 50s imagine computers
and
were like.
He's like some video game fanatic, and he gets zapped into a computer, and he's really good at video games.
Yes. I'm done with that.
But he is Jeff Bridges. I mean, Jeff Bridges is really cool. But Thorn.
Who is Thorn? What's his deal? He looks like an Infernal from World of Warcraft.
He's like another scientist that gets dropped into the Tron. And
like they do.
Yeah, and it seems to be like cast
the grid.
Cast as your rival for most of the game, and then all of a sudden, like, he gets murdered by the real bad guy like, at the end of the game.
That's a good twist.
Yeah,
ICP.
It's again just a lot of setup for a dude they just changed their mind on. And
does he do the end of line?
That's what isn't that what the MCP says? The master control program.
Yeah, master control program.
And the real bad guy in Tron Point 2.0 is the ICP.
Oh no,
that's
I did
right.
Get it right.
ICP. Same that's clown right. It's the ICP. Awesome. That's the bad guy. That's right.
Corny. I'm just kidding.
Well, it was before NSYNC Clown Posse was that popular. did you know that, like, this isn't a new secret, but that the ICP guys revealed at some point, like, that they're all like born again Christians, and that it's a scam on a certain point where, like.
When
you get underneath it all, like the Great Malenko, which is this whole mythology they're talking about, it's ultimately like, oh yeah, give yourself to Christ. Like that's
wow.
The end of it. But then they still have all these songs about like beating women to death and doing drugs. Like I don't get
it's a bit of mixed metaphors.
Listening to NSYNC Clown Posse on a road trip. And just this sound effect of someone like they're whispering the song, and all of a sudden you just hear like shink, and then someone else starts singing. It's like holy shit!
Didn't Juggalo fans just get classified as a gang? Like
I think it was a nationwide
gang.
I think outside of America, yes, I think that is true. Well, I mean, like the stuff they do at Cave and Rock, they just had the gathering of the Juggalos at Cave and Rock. Which is just like a drug fest. Like that's all.
We should probably stop talking about ICP or they'll come for us.
Did you guys see the picture? One last thing about ICP. Did you guys see the picture of the woman twerking on the body of a 500-pound man?
No.
Do I want to see that? There must have been some ripples.
I'm going to answer that question for myself. No.
Apparently, the 500-pound man is like a rapper on their label. He's not just some fat guy who's at the gathering of the Juggalos. Uh-huh.
Is he wearing face paint?
No, he's not.
What kind of Juggalo is he?
Well, see, he is not a Juggalo. He is on the NSYNC Clown Posse's Psycho Killer Records. And not all of them wear clown makeup. They're not all part of the Bizarre Fantasy but what I forget the name of their. I know a lot about them. I have to say, they also are big fans of professional wrestling. That's sort of how I know.
Backyard wrestling.
Yeah, they've starred in the backyard wrestling video games together. This back to video games number 5. Harry Flynn. Speaking of Tron, Flynn Arcade. Tron. But anyway, Harry Flynn, the very British gentleman from. I don't do enough British accents on this podcast.
Hello, Governor.
I'm Harry. Got to do a.
Harry Flynn.
You can't go Harry. It's Harry Flynn.
There's no. H's don't exist.
May the UK guys never hear this.
I hope they won't listen.
They don't. You found the map to Shangri-La.
Yeah. But yeah, so Harry Flynn may as well just be like twirling a mustache at the beginning of the game. Yeah. And he's like, "Hey, I'm your buddy, Drake. Let's go on this together." Like, he's obviously going to betray you. And he like betrays you like 4 times. Not really, not that many times in the game, but he's a very obvious betrayer.
Yeah.
I don't know. I liked how they set him up as like, "Hey, you can like this dude, but he's going to screw you over. You know he's going to screw you over." But I mean, I think it's implied
maybe
Drake knew that,
yeah,
too.
Drake knows, yeah.
Drake's better at reading books than he is at reading people.
Every time he gets screwed over, he's just kind of like, fucking shit.
I love when they find him in the Turkish prison afterwards when he's like, he's been there for months. He's like filthy. And he's saying like, and then when they see him in his cell, he's like, "Oh, hey, guys, it's great you were here. This one is one of the best places in the whole prison. It's got its own bucket."
So chipper. Always.
But yeah, Harry like kind of keeps popping up, and you figure like he'll be a boss fight at some point. Though the game doesn't have a whole lot of boss fights per se.
I think that's for the best.
No, yeah, because the last one's not all that great. It's okay. The fight against the war criminal.
Yeah, I thought it was trial and error. It was just like, how am I going to run? Is this fun or challenging?
Yeah.
The boss fight in the first one actually annoyed me. I talked about that in one of my features, Navarro.
Oh, no, that one does suck. Yeah.
Which one was like, that?
Well, you're fighting on a boat in the rain, right?
Yeah, you're fighting on a boat, and the only thing you have to hide behind is like destructible environments. And then when you get through that part, it's like it's just him, and he's got a machine gun, and you've got nothing, and you have to hit the exact correct sequence of buttons, or he'll fuck you over and shoot you in the face. It sucks.
I always feel like shooters have shitty boss fights. Like, it's either you're just like, especially when it's kind of a guy like Harry Flynn, right? Like, unless he's armored up in like a juggernaut costume or something, it doesn't make sense to have to shoot him more than you would like some average henchman.
In the real ish
blow
world,
him up with, you know, like
in the real ish world of Uncharted, like, you're not gonna face a thing that's like that much bigger than you. Like, it works in fantastical games. We're like, well, how's this a boss? Because it's a giant dragon.
Yeah.
And it'll have maybe a big easy weak point to find.
It's got giant red eyeballs that you need to shoot. Yeah.
But without monsters in there, it's just a dude who's pretty much as tall as you are. And so like, how imposing can they be?
Yeah.
Like, They still had to like magic up the actual bad guy at the end of Uncharted.
And then it's kind of lame when they just take away all the weapons and then it's just a fist fight. Those are lame
exactly.
too.
Exactly.
So
that was how they did it with Navarro. Yeah, and I was like, ugh.
All those weapons you earned are pointless in this final fight. Like, we want it to be the same difficulty for everybody at the end. That's why we're taking away your things.
Your arms are the only guns you need in the end.
Sick pythons.
I mean, he's definitely a built guy.
Yeah. And then Harry Flynn just takes a coward's way out and just blows himself up, like, rather than get in a fight or something.
Does he do it for the greater good? Like, does he
redeem himself? No, he's like, mortally wounded. And then
he won't give you the satisfaction.
And he's like, you know what? Not even gonna get the satisfaction killing me. Blows himself up. Like, it's definitely not for the greater good because he almost kills Elena in doing so. Like, remember? She gets like shrapnel and stuff, and like, she really should be dead. But
poor Elena. Elena gets so much shit because of Drake.
Yeah, but she.
Grenades never kill good guys.
Nope.
They're all like Khaleesi.
Actually, now that I think about it. Same thing happened with Navarro. He freaking crashes the helicopter, almost kills Elena. Elena really needs to just get out of the way.
Yeah.
She's going to get herself killed.
She should have counted herself lucky all those times Drake tried to leave her.
It's like, I'm doing it for your own good.
Yeah.
I am a bad influence.
Though she begot, well, in the first game, there are moments where she's like, I can't jump over here, Drake, because it is reality. And she's like, look, I'm in pretty good shape for a reporter, but I can't jump 12 feet from ledge to ledge all the time.
And hang there indefinitely.
Yeah.
But then, so upset about it, too.
But then in 2 and 3, she's like, all right, I guess I'll, you know, she's been working out since the last one. And she's like, I'm a pretty good expert with guns and free running. And
pull-ups.
She knows she's got to keep up with him now.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe they do, like, they work out together. Like, it's a couples thing. For
aw, mm, that'd be yeah. cute.
Number 4! The yeah. Panther King from Conker's Bad Fur Day.
This guy was so funny. What was his whole thing? It was,
His table would not stand still when he put milk on.
Yeah, he wanted to put his milk down, because he's a cat, and he has to drink milk. And they needed a squirrel-sized table leg. So they were going mm-hmm. after Conker.
Yep.
And the anti-gravity chocolate.
Oh.
That whole plot, well, every plot point in Conker is just an FU to plots. Like yeah. it's they there's no him needing to capture a squirrel that's the right size for a table leg makes as much sense as like kidnapping a girl. Though they also do kidnap his girlfriend.
Yeah, they do.
They
poor Barry. Like she gets a bad rap.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah. She just wanted to work out.
With yeah. Conker, I swear, like pretty much everything they did was like, okay, what's the stupidest possible reason mm-hmm. that this could be happening?
Yep, and that's exactly why. And he only does it because a Nazi doctor tells him yeah. to do it too, or a fake Nazi
well,
doctor.
That's why this game keeps you laughing all the way through.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So amazing.
I do think now, 16 years later,
oh my really? God,
the reference Holy is 14. Let's say 14.
Yeah.
But I think the references will just feel like so dated.
The Matrix. Like,
well, Matrix yeah. Saving Private Ryan.
Some of those are timeless. Saving Private Ryan and The Exorcist.
Terminator. Exorcist. Definitely is too.
Terminator is in
the
there.
Bram Stoker's Dracula. the
Gary Oldman.
Well, the Freeman. Gary Oldman version of Keanu. It specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
I actually didn't make that connection. Thank you for telling me this.
Well, no.
I just thought it was vampires.
Well, I mean, it is vampires, but like the version of Dracula is Gary Oldman's high-haired Dracula.
Yeah. Wrinkly-faced.
The best character was Greg, the Grim Reaper.
Yeah,
I love that guy.
Yeah. Didn't he have a squeaky voice?
And
like
he
a
hated,
really squeaky
yeah,
voice?
He hated cats, and he was trying to catch cats all the time.
I hate these cats.
Stop fucking cats. Cats, I hate
them. I liked Birdie, the... the
scarecrow
that you see like once.
Yeah.
This is like the second podcast where we've talked about Birdie.
All right.
But that's Birdie's because great. Tony is just such a big fan. But anyway, so yeah, the Panther King, much like a lot of like misdirects in Conker, you're just screwed out of a fight with him. Like you're about to fight him, and then it is revealed that the milk he was drinking was actually helping to grow an alien inside of his body.
That yeah. conveniently bursts out right
burst
at that
out
moment.
Right at the moment when a boss fight was about to begin. Yeah.
Then you find the alien.
Yeah. Then you find an alien until the game glitches, and then Conker enters God mode and fixes everything, except he forgets to unkill his girlfriend. And so then in the original ending of Conker, he actually kills himself. Like,
yeah, I remember
does
that.
He?
Yeah, well,
that's the
what
ending that they
online.
Couldn't release.
Nintendo wasn't so into that ending. Like, that was a step too far. But yeah, the game starts with a Clockwork Orange style opening of a slow zoom out of Conker's face as he's now the king.
And he's on a throne, and there's all these weird characters around his throne. He's like, these are all these characters that I met, and this is how I met them.
God, my life sucks.
And so when it comes back, he's just super depressed because he's like, but I couldn't say Barry. I don't care that I'm the star of the game and the savior of the kingdom and now the king. And he goes into the bathroom and then like pulls out a gun, and I think the screen cuts to black, and then you hear a gunshot. So
it's effed up.
God.
It's a dark game.
It's a very weird game.
Banjo and Kazooie's heads are mounted in like the bar.
Yeah,
holy shit.
They are.
Yep. You'll see it on the save screen. Number 3. The Elusive Man from Mass Effect 3.
This motherfucker.
Can you do a Martin Sheen impression for us quickly?
Jeez, that's tough.
That's like, really hard.
Shepard, you didn't.
What's no, a line? What's low. A famous line he says in like Apocalypse Now or something?
I don't know.
Nope. I can only think of like. Here, I'll do Dennis Hopper from Apocalypse Now. No, man, it's like He's like the walls, man. We're like the prison inside of him. He's the man, man. That was my best. All right, wait. Let's do Marlon Brando. I'm not going back. I swallowed a bug.
I don't know these lines.
There's a classic. There's a classic gag reel from the film where he like is just doing a scene and he's talking and then a bug just flies in his mouth and then he just stops and goes like, I swallowed a bug.
Dude,
look it up, guys. But the elusive man was played by Martin Sheen, like a pretty big star power for the Mass Effect
yeah,
series.
Yeah.
Though pretty limited in his appearances, probably because he's not cheap.
It's like Kevin Spacey of Mass Effect.
Yeah, I never really expected this guy to be like a boss that you go and shoot or even have like an intense like conversation.
Like very like, stern conversation.
Sorry, ending, stern ending conversation with him.
Well, he's just, he has so much more personalities than those than the robots you fight. Like, so wouldn't you rather like beat up some dude
and
some space racist?
Yeah, and he's got like good. He's got good intentions on the in his own racist things. I guess I don't know. He does get indoctrinated at the end.
That's true.
So. It happens to the best of us.
Yeah.
Like literally.
Mm-hmm. So it's funny. They actually, I remember Ryan did a feature on Mass Effect 3 concept art. Mm-hmm. And in one of the art pieces, they show the elusive man as like a husk when he takes off his suit. Like he has the full wiring and everything.
Oh.
And I guess they didn't end up using that.
That's cool.
But it's cool to think about. Like, maybe they were going to make him a super powerful enemy.
There's a lot of lost potential in
Mass Effect
3.
That's like when Saren, when the boss of the first game, Saren becomes, like, you know, his big boss form. He's just, like, not even...
human.
He wasn't human.
He never was human.
He wasn't a Turian.
I mean.
In fact,
he's not
he was just
bipedal.
Like, yeah, he was just really wires and claws at the end of it.
Creepy.
He wasn't even really an alien guy anymore.
Would people have been more happy if at the end of Mass Effect 3 when they opened the last door, then the elusive man is there, he's like, I've been waiting for you. And then he transforms into a giant guy that you just hit three times, and then he explodes, and they're like, you saved the day. Like,
probably
people
not.
Have been more happy
nah.
than that?
I don't know. Maybe.
You cannot mention the Mass Effect 3 ending without a dozen comments at least popping up going like, that's not why we're mad about the Mass Effect 3 ending. You get it wrong every time. We're mad because of this.
Actually, I remember when I wrote that the fan theories feature I did way back where I mentioned the indoctrination theory. Pretty much every single comment was about that. None of the other slides, just that.
Yeah.
So a lot of passion.
Is
still fresh.
Kai Lang the actual final boss? Like, he's the last fight before
like
the end?
Boss? He is towards the end because that's just before you go back to Earth, right?
Frack if I know.
Been too long.
But that fight is what made an impression on me as like, this is it.
Yeah.
I didn't
know
expect
the
elusive man to get up and run at me.
Yeah, I didn't even see that. Like, going back to what I was talking about before, like, fighting that guy... You shoot him a lot, and it doesn't make sense.
A whole bunch of times.
I mean, even if he is like dodging and blocking shit with his sword and stuff, you still shoot him a lot of times.
It's that armor.
I mean, it's adrenaline, man.
It's the shields. The
it's
shields.
That Troy Baker voice actor.
The shields. The Jedi reflexes and
that's actually
really hard skin.
It's actually a good point. It's like having Troy Baker as your voice actor gives you superpowers.
It means you're important enough for them to employ Troy Baker, so you're going to be around for a while.
Yeah.
Number two, the Songbird. This is without. Now we're in big spoiler territory, but the game is more than a year old. All right, Bioshock Infinite, whose like ad campaigns and a lot of stuff were built around the Songbird and how menacing and scary he is.
That collector's edition statue.
I own
crack.
That statue.
It's a really great statue.
It
and,
is.
And he's a creepy guy, and he definitely was being sold as like, this is the big daddy of this game, though that's actually like, it turns out
there's
the
other
big daddies.
Big daddies
are those shittier dudes with like
the motorized patriots.
I hate
no, the motorized patriots are cool.
The guys with
the heart dudes. Handyman.
Here we go. Yeah, the
handyman can.
Handyman can.
Yes.
You.
But definitely the Songbird is like the big daddy who the protector of anyway, he seems very important. There's a lot of scary ass scenes with him, including a few that pretty much set up like, this guy's a real threat. You better be ready to fight this guy later on. And then the end comes, it's like, no, we found the key to make sure you never have to fight him. He's your friend now.
Yeah. Which I did think was interesting. Like, at the same time, I was disappointed, but I was also like, well, I guess I didn't expect it.
Yeah, it's not predictable, which I feel like, as I look back on BioShock Infinite, one of my problems with it is that I think they made a number of choices to just not do the thing you thought they do. Not do the best thing for the plot, necessarily, but defy expectations. Yeah.
Surprises!
Yeah. Like, oh, you thought that you'd get to have a choice, like a binary choice at the end? No, it's every choice ever.
I was
every
totally
choice
ready.
You could hope to want.
I was totally ready to start shooting him in the eyeballs because he's got such big eyeballs.
Look, and
like,
they
like
almost
a
set
crack.
That up.
It's like they would just be green and then they would turn red when you want to shoot them. Perfect.
But the final fight of the game, like, I contend that it sucks. As a thing you play, the final battle, which is just on a blimp, killing everything that comes in front of you, that is not the kind of smart design you expect from the team that brought you the big daddies, which are like, then again, they are the guys who brought you the Atlas fight at the end of first BioShock. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just like, let's throw 3 dozen enemies at you. And then also give you the assignment of, like, every 2 minutes, make the Songbird jump on a thing.
Now, that said, I thought it was really cool to be able to tell Songbird, like, hey, that massive thing over there, I want you to go destroy it at my command.
Go punch
and
that
then it
thing.
Works.
Yeah. It definitely did feel like everything was finally getting thrown at you, and this was it. And if you can't survive this.
It did feel like this was it, but then, like, it was just shooting a bunch of dudes. And also
it's a shooter boss. See? The shooter bosses.
You cracked the code.
And that's I was going to say earlier, that seems to be kind of how shooters handle if they're not shooting one giant dude who is impenetrable for some reason. They just throw a lot of dudes at you.
Yeah.
And they're like, shoot all of these dudes.
Yeah, here's dudes.
Last of Us is guilty of that, too. Like, many times.
Oh, spoiler alert for me.
What? No. Easy now. I'm saying in just many scenes, this isn't the end of the game. I'm talking about many scenes in the game. Many chapters just escalate of, like, here's 2 guys. Here's 5 guys. And if you then they're like, here's 2 dozen guys. This is the end of this chapter because we threw 2 dozen guys at you.
Yeah.
Like, also, the last fight really sucked for me because I beat it. I was at the end, and there was 1 guy I couldn't find, so it wouldn't end. Because even though I killed everybody, I didn't kill the last guy to then make the story point happen.
Stuck in a wall.
He's just glitching.
Yes,
out.
He was stuck in a room that you're never supposed to go to. It's just the room where they spill out of, and he just couldn't go through the door. So I just threw grenades in there and blew him up eventually, and was like, but that took 5 minutes of searching.
Oh my god.
That's pretty awful.
It really
anticlimactic.
Hurt. Yeah, it kind of. Then once the ending goes, which is about 20, 30 minutes long, like, that's cool. Like, it kind of erased that. But anyway.
I was just saying, Songbird.
Number 1, Voss from Far Cry 3.
This bitch.
Never got this far.
Me neither.
I know who he is. Though.
But I do know this really tore the rug out from under a lot of people because they basically had Voss's face on every single piece of advertising and marketing material.
He's the cover star.
Pretty much. I did not know who Jason Brody was. I'm like, who the fuck's that?
Yeah, some nerd.
Yeah, and Voss makes such a big impression in the beginning, too, because, you know, he's got that whole part where you're in the cage with your brother and then he's saying his really cool...
his phone.
Yeah, he's talking about the phone.
Like, oh, you guys are cool guys, huh?
Yeah, you guys are pretty neat.
Shut up!
Yeah, and then...
that's a good impression.
And then he kills your brother, and then he's just, like, harassing you for the rest of the game, and then...
I don't
what is it
get
like?
the appeal of Voss, if I may be a little contrarian for a second here. Like,
no.
I don't get
devil's advocate.
His inconsistencies. Like, does he like Jason?
Crazy.
Or does he...
He's a psychopath.
He's a crazy person that has violent mood swings, and he likes Jason in his way, but part of liking him is wanting to torture him. Like, that's...
Yeah.
That's just how Voss...
So.
It's like he's cool until anything doesn't go his way.
Sets
like, if you start talking when I'm talking, then I'm just going to fucking shoot you in the face.
But then why is he nice to Jason's girlfriend when he's like, I don't know.
You're trying to explain an insane person.
Yeah.
Like, that's,
can't
you
be
can't,
done.
You can't do that. But yeah, then you kill him in a dream sequence, not even a fight. Like, and then he's just replaced by a more boring dude.
Like, yeah, what's up with the replacement? Like, what's his deal?
I don't know. He's like the businessman that runs the island.
Schmuck.
I don't care.
It's like, meh.
I just drove around and hunted things.
I let loose tigers on dudes.
Yeah. Hunted like sharks.
I felt bad killing the tigers.
Got a sick tat.
They're an endangered species.
Exactly.
Yeah, that sick, huge-ass tat that you're just building up the entire time.
Yeah, and in Far Cry 4, like, you're going to be killing a lot of endangered species.
Oh, yeah. Like elephants.
It's going to be so much fun.
What else lives in the Himalayas? Mountain goats.
I did research on this when Far Cry 4 was announced, but with very little information. I had one slide that's like, you're definitely going to do stuff with animals. And then I just went to the National Geographic website to find, like, what are the key species of the Himalayas? Like,
apparently, there are no elephants in the real-world Himalayas. That is totally fabricated.
They were imported.
Oh, well.
Imported what? By the Mongolians, right? It would put them over there.
I don't rightly know.
I was very sad when I was watching Coop play this at E3. And he was riding the elephant, and the elephant died.
Yep.
And he walked up, and it was like, skin the elephant. And apparently my jaw actually dropped. And I was like, no.
I know.
Don't do it.
I didn't like skinning the animals in Red Dead either. Like, it was just...
Yeah, that was pretty gory, and then it's just really a skinned carcass that's laying
there. Yeah, it's like a full-on skinned carcass there. Yeah. But I mean, that's real. Like, when you clean an animal, or no, you dress an animal, that's what you're left with. Like,
yeah. I don't think in Far Cry 3, if you skinned the animals, they would they just disappear? I think they did.
Yes,
there was no skinned.
You were left with corpses in Ass Creed 4.
And 3.
And 3, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially in 3. At least I have yet to see a game that makes you actually do something, like control the actual skinning.
Like
of
how
the
you
animal.
Skin a. You guys know how to skin a rabbit?
Nor do I want.
I
you
saw
like
it.
You pull the skin down on one leg, and then you stick your thumb up its butt, and then you like just rip the whole thing off.
It comes
off like a sweater.
Wow, man.
Racked up.
I don't think that's how you take off a sweater, Lorenzo.
I mean,
hate to inform
so we're
you.
Gonna
slip it over the head.
All right, so we're gonna stop with that one and take a little break on the 101st episode of Radio Radar. And when we come back, we're gonna talk about the news. Hey, we're back. So we're going to get into the current events section of Radio Radar episode 101. And so I suppose the big news had to be Assassin's Creed Rouge, right?
Yes, exactly. You can buy it at your local cosmetic store.
Well, actually, I'm looking at you because you are the Assassin's Creed expert in the room.
Ah, of course. I am, in fact. But yes, Assassin's Creed Rogue, they actually verified a lot of information that had been... Like, people, it had been leaked
before. 5 months ago. Well,
yeah. Though I was skeptical. Like, I actually saw a website leak the character's name and what he was going to be doing in the game, and I was suspicious because it sounded like they were just predicting, but they had it all correct. So,
just to be clear, this is the Assassin's Creed Comet.
Yes.
Right?
This is Assassin's Creed Comet.
The last gen going to be on Xbox 360, PS3
yes.
only.
Only, yes.
No PC, which is odd.
Which is crazy.
No PC, no
and
Wii U.
It's kind of, I feel like it's bizarre that they're just going last gen.
I think that's a smart move just because they could predict, like, we still have to make a last gen game,
right.
But we want this next one to be truly next gen, so we got to separate it. Mm-hmm. And they can always just do if Rogue is good enough, they could always just do a next gen port like 6 months from now.
Ah. Yeah.
That's very true.
Oh, there you go.
I actually thought it was a pretty smart move because I was seeing a lot of people who were very upset that Unity was exclusively next gen or mm-hmm. exclusively new gen, but it couldn't be on last gen. So This was a smart move on their part. But basically, Rogue, you play a Templar named Shay, who used to be an assassin, but realized something happened to him, and now he is an assassin hunter, and he goes around killing assassins and protecting their targets. So it's kind of turning things on its head, and it's going to be interesting to see how that happens.
Is he going to move like an assassin?
Yes, he's like trained like an assassin.
He's hooded, and he has...
They've already made the animations for characters, so I don't think they're going to completely change him.
Yeah, he has the blades. He has a hood. He's basically an assassin. He's just an assassin.
He wears red, not blue. So.
Yeah, yeah.
He was an assassin, but now he's an assassin turncoat.
Assassin.
Assassino!
What's the time period for this one?
This one is during the Seven Years' War, which is right between Black Flag and Assassin's Creed 3. Mm. And it's actually right around the time that Haytham showed up in America. I've actually heard rumors that he will for sure show up in Rogue, but I don't have any good sources, so
I
haven't confirmed that.
Another turncoat, like the two turncoats would have some intersection at some point in the game.
Maybe. Yeah. Have mutual feelings of
Maybe
sadness.
He'll still be an assassin, and you'll have to
you try
turn,
to predict
turn
the twist
him.
At the
yeah.
end.
Yeah.
Will we still be an assassin? Haytham?
Yeah.
Well, who...
do not get me started on going all Assassin's Creed backstory on you. It'll take
forever.
Animusing
into Shay.
Good question.
Some person.
Anybody can animus now, like thanks to the way Ubisoft helped out. In-game Ubisoft helped out the Templars and Sturgo to make that a game for everybody.
I cracked up during Black Flag because they're pretty much just like, yep, Ubisoft is an evil Templar corporation.
Yeah.
I feel like there's plausible deniability there that like they could just, they're just a company that wants to work with a big company. They don't know that Abstergo's evil and at one point wish to control all of humanity with the apple of Eden. Yeah. That's
very
what I'm
true.
Looking for. Well,
shot into space.
I forgot to put this on the article, or on my list here, but Evolve got delayed. Evolve got delayed till 2015. So this year has like two Assassin's Creed games and no other game.
Far Cry.
Ubisoft rules the landscape. Yeah.
They were the only ones who seemed to like have new 2014. The fall of 2013 would be something.
Hey, there's still time for them to delay those games too.
Yeah,
possible. Isn't, but I don't think that.
Isn't there a Just Dance coming out this year too?
There's Dragon Age coming.
Okay,
November.
Yes, there's Dragon Age. There's aliens. there's Aliens Infestation. There's The Evil Within, and then other real game.
Akiva's Trip.
That is Call of Duty. Okay, Call of Duty, fine.
COD.
Yeah, the usual.
COD. And then, and then Little Big Planet 3.
Hyrule Warriors, you're forgetting about
Henry. I'm talking about new gen. The Wii U actually does have a pretty good...
Some lines in the sand here.
You've got Smash Brothers, you've got Hyrule Warriors, you got Bayonetta. You know, that's good.
Yeah.
It's not
Nintendo's got a good lineup.
Yeah. And Captain Toad's Treasure Factory.
I mean, of
it's
course.
A real hit.
When is Yoshi's Woolly World?
That's
15.
Year.
Yeah, but from what I've played, it seems like Evolve was pretty well along. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what could make them want to do this other than ironing out bugs.
Well, they did just have a stealth alpha, which maybe that showed them they had a little farther to go with their online code than they thought they did.
Maybe all those players broke something huge and they have to rebalance it.
Maybe like it sucks to be the monster or something because you just get outnumbered and therefore outgunned.
It is 4-1, and literally. You know if you're the monster and you know like I just imagined someone just starting this game. Playing as the monster and saying, this game sucks. I just got my ass kicked.
Yeah.
I thought I was this cool big monster, but these stupid guys kill me. I F this
I
game.
Quit.
Yeah.
0.1 on Metacritic.
I mean, that's got to be a really tough thing to balance, because you have to be able to let new players stand a chance against four other players that, you know, could potentially be really good.
Yeah.
And then, like, also be challenging to, like, someone that really knows how to use that monster.
And be able to balance multiple combinations of hunters and how they're going to go up against different kinds of monsters.
It's a very tall order.
They just dug themselves a deep ass grave.
So on the plus side of all these delays is that 2015 is going to be an insane year of video games.
Oh, it's like hot.
Pretty much from beginning to end, I would bet.
Yeah.
The only thing I think this might mean now is, like, some games that would have been fall 2015 might just get shoved to 2016.
Star Wars Battlefront.
It's just a never-ending domino
effect. No way. Battlefront has to come out with 7.
It's gonna come out for sure with that movie. There's no
At
way.
At least within a month of 7. Like, it's not connected to 7. Though, if there aren't, like, 7 weapons in it or X-Wings or whatever, like, I'll be kind of disappointed.
Yeah, I expect them. Well,
maybe a DLC set.
Yeah, they said that they're going to be based off the original trilogy, not the new trilogy stuff. But I wouldn't, you know, put it past them to, you know, not do a DLC. That's like at least the new ships or some new weapons.
That new X-Wing looks
maps.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks the front looks weird. It's it's got only 2 turbines instead of 4.
What?
Yeah.
I got to see this.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like that.
You should be watching J.J. Abrams' his UNICEF updates.
Yeah, his UNICEF.
That's a cool way to do a charity of just cool. Like, look, you guys want to see this thing, and you are apparently, like, leaking everything you can.
Yeah.
So, look, let me preach to you about this thing, and then you'll get to see an X-Wing at the end.
I donated $10 to UNICEF so I could be in the drawing to be in the movie, and
that is pretty cool.
Meet J.J. Abrams in the cast.
Man, but you got to be in that movie now.
Oh man! but those videos do show a lot. There's that mouse droid, and there's like Tatooine stuff. Yeah, it's so cool.
What do those things do?
I think
do they clean the Death Star?
Vacuums.
I was gonna say
they're
like
the name of the robots.
They're a Roomba.
Yeah,
I think they are little cleaning things. Little cleaning Roomba. Bots.
Well, the Death Star does have to stay very, like, it's pristine, like it's super clean. Like, so those things are doing their job.
Maybe they're bringing lunch to everyone. Like little.
I don't know if I want my lunch that close to the floor.
Is there little blue milk in there?
Yeah, little space snacks.
Shots of blue milk.
That's like the only food I can. No, wait.
No,
there's
a little.
Eats those. Well, I saw Luke eats those rations in Empire.
Yeah.
He eats those. And then they have, like, pretty much more blue milk on Tatooine in the prequels.
Right.
Can you think of any other time they eat
in the fucking disastrous romance scene in episode 2. They're eating, like,
cuts
dumb
through hair.
Yeah. They're
the CG
pear.
That's true.
Couldn't get a real pear.
Jar Jar eats the skewered little rat-looking
little
things.
Rat creatures.
Bantha poodoo.
People don't eat very much.
Bantha poodoo is not food.
No, I know.
You better not eat that stuff.
I'm just saying that's what Sebulba calls him when he takes a bite, a real good bite out of that.
I knew somebody
head.
Who had a great impersonation of what Jake Lloyd in the film, in the first one, where he's like, dibba dibba dibba, Sebulba. When he's talking back to
Sebulba.
Hit
the nose.
That's a good trick. Let's try spinning. That's a good trick.
Let's try spinning.
Now that's what I call pod racing.
Oh, God.
It's working.
It's working.
We say that regularly around the office.
All right. There is the remake. Remake is getting remade, which I think is pretty cool.
Yes.
Not a lot of people got to sample that game. Well, it's on GameCube and the Wii. And then hasn't been seen since, but it is the definitive way to play Resident Evil. Original Resident Evil looks like a pile of trash. Like, and it's acted even worse. Like, it's not even a...
It's Jake Lloyd.
It is just shit.
Are they going
to
put
It's just dated. Like, I'm not saying it's unplayable now, but you wouldn't want to play it. Like,
there are better things
it's
to do.
It's basically unplayable.
Yeah. Are they going to put the giant Chris Redfield in it?
No.
The ripped one.
I don't think... No, oh, Chris man. Isn't that ripped, and he only starts, like, taking roids after, like, Code Veronica. But
juicing.
No, It's the GameCube version that's coming to every system but Wii U, which is interesting
to
me.
Some shot to the nards for Nintendo.
But I'm excited to see it. I also, like, it was such a gorgeous game on the GameCube. One of the best-looking games ever on that system. And partially because, like, classic Resident Evil had a fixed camera frame. So when you don't have to move the camera, you can build polygons in your favor to just... Not like, don't put polygons over there. Put them all over here.
Yeah.
And you end up with better looking stuff, though. You also end up with bad tank controls, but apparently they're getting around that.
Oh, really?
One thing I wouldn't mind tank controls as a change of pace.
You kind of get used to it. Like, I played all those old Resident Evil games, and you just have to play it for 5 minutes, and then you're like, oh.
Okay.
Press this button to turn 180
and
degrees.
In my opinion, it makes chases... scarier because you're like, oh my god, I'm trying to back up.
Yeah, and it's like in real life when you
in
know,
real life, if a zombie was running at you, you'd be like, what do I do? What do I do?
You'd be like going back and forth against the wall and just like banging into
holy
it.
Holy shit! Holy shit!
And you would definitely like pick out your when you pull out your gun, you're like, I can't aim right.
In three limited directions, like high, low, middle.
Yeah, that game was fun, and I also like kind of mind. Fuck in it that when you know you'd wait for the doors to open to cause a load screen, but then every once in a while like a door would just explode and a zombie would come out of it. Just the game's like, oh, you thought you were gonna wait for it? You think we're gonna wait for you? Same with you. I believe when you walk through the hallway that the dog would jump out of doesn't happen. Only when you double back and you're thinking it's not going to happen, then zombie dogs break through the glass.
Maybe they'll triple it for this remake.
Mm. Yeah, there's this one part, like another example is that in Resident Evil 2, when you're running around the police station, you pick up a key and then there's this one-way mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And like you're like, oh man, something's gonna bust out of there.
Yeah.
And then you go and you do stuff and you pick up a key and then you're just like, I guess nothing's gonna happen. And then bam, fucking liquor comes out. Scares the shit out of you. Oh man.
And then there was a couple of iOS news bits this week that BioShock the original is now getting an iOS version, which like
why?
7 years later, and they can fit it on a phone. Like, you can fit it on your phone. It's crazy.
I mean, I've seen some people who've been super excited about it, so good for them, I guess.
Does it add anything for people that have played the original already?
Probably.
Like, bad controls.
So.
Yeah. Horrible visuals.
Any kind of incentive?
I don't know.
But I mainly really brought this up because of the other iOS game that came out this week,
Dargan Quest
4. So I'm a big Dargan Quest fan, guys, and I really
what
I
happened
love
to
Dargan
the first
Quest.
Three?
Yeah.
So I heard an explanation.
It is Dragon. Okay, just short version. If you didn't know, Square Enix started selling Dragon Quest 4 on the iOS store, but when they posted it, it was somebody misspelled it, and it is Dargon Quest 4.
Now, the reason for this might be either someone in Japan done effed up,
mm-hmm.
or the App Store doesn't let you name... It's kind of like Twitter. You can't name yourself the same thing as an existing app. And apparently, Dragon Quest IV is already out there as an app.
What's
so
out
maybe,
in Japan, I guess?
But maybe this was a workaround. And they're let's just look stupid, but we can still sell our product with
nobody will notice this.
But it'll also not come up in search. Like,
yeah.
I'm guessing it was the first one. Someone done fucked up.
Yeah. Now it's like, do they just pull the whole app or do they get
should
to
just
redeem?
Keep it.
Who came up with that elaborate excuse?
It's a comment I read. I said, oh, there's maybe some truth to that.
Somebody's just bullshit. Mm.
But it made me laugh. I liked Dragon Quest IV on the DS, and it seems to be the DS version that's being remade, but and also it's a turn-based RPG, so it's not as responsive. It's not like a platformer you're playing on there, so I think it may be better for iOS controls. It's also $15, which
Square Enix's policies on that are
well
just
I am
weird.
Of two minds on that. One, I do think if you price anything over probably like $5, who would buy it on iOS because they have no clue what quality is, and they just pay for the cheapest thing. People who play phone games are idiots. But secondly, I think Square Enix is shooting themselves in the foot there just by having like a price nobody would pay on iOS.
Yeah.
But oppositely, those things should be $15. Like, they have Dragon Quest VIII on there that's $20. And that is a crazy price for an iOS game compared to everything else. But Dragon Quest VIII is 100 hours. Like, legitimately 100 hours. And 100 great hours, at least the PS2 one, I can say for sure. That's $20. That is a $20 experience. And I think Square is right to charge the right price for that and want the market to, like, try to change the market at least in that way. I don't think it'll work.
I'm going to counter that, Henry, by saying all they're really doing is just gouging the people they know have already played it, liked it, and are going to rebuy it just to see what's up. Because they are trying to get them for all they're worth instead of saying, like, will actually convince people to pay this price.
Hmm. That's a darker interpretation.
It is indeed.
But I also think it is a Square it's also, I bet, that Square values their properties. Like, in their mind, they're like, this is a core Final Fantasy game. This is one of our most important, like, jewels in the crown. And if we were to charge $5 for that, it would be a disservice to our entire legacy. We cannot do that.
I can't.
We
let
only
the
have so
Final
much
Fantasy
left.
Yeah, but I mean, XCOM, Enemy Unknown, like, that was priced competitively. Like, it was like $15. I know it was over really? $10, right? Wasn't it?
I don't know if iPad's a different beast though.
Maybe it is. I don't know.
Don't remember.
I'm currently playing Shin Megami Tensei the First, which had never been localized ever before for America. It is a Super Famicom game, and now it's making its English language debut. It has made its English language debut as an iOS game.
What? Oh, the times all they right. are changing.
And it is still very, I mean, like, the visuals are the Super NES visuals. Like, it's a Super NES game. But and it's $8, which I think is a fair price for a giant Shin Megami game. I just hope that since they went to all the trouble of localizing it, that they'll put it out on other things eventually. Like,
PSN, I would hope.
Like, I would hope they'd put it on PSN or, well, it's a Nintendo. It was a game on a Nintendo system, so maybe Wii U or 3DS? I don't know.
That'd be cool.
Moving on to the only review of the week, as far as I know. Lucas Metrico.
Yes.
What even is that?
It's been a light week.
Yeah, so Metrico is a puzzle platformer for Vita. Vita and only Vita. Mm. And I was really excited for this game when I first saw it because it has style for days. Mm-hmm. It's basically like, it's an artsy kind of game. So it's very abstract. You're just an outline of a person running through what look like living infographics because they move as you do. Mm-hmm. So like as you jump, a pie chart will spin around and then stay there. And as you run, maybe a platform on a bar graph will extend. So that's pretty cool. Like, that's something you're not used to seeing in games.
And the objective is to get from one end of the screen to the other.
Yep,
with all
just
of these
in a
weird,
straight line, basically.
Yeah, moving
and
objects.
Each level is just a series of rooms as you're trying to figure out how to get your guy from point A to point B. The problem is that a lot of the puzzles feel very, very fun and interesting until you get stuck. And then all of a sudden, it's like not fun at all. And getting stuck in a puzzle game is kind of to be expected because if you're just cruising through it, then that's not really fun either. But the problem is in Metrico, when you get stuck, there's nothing else to do but just stare at that one puzzle. You can't like go do something else and try to progress in a different avenue because the whole game is literally just a straight line.
Do you find yourself just like mashing buttons and hoping that you jump across the screen somehow?
That's the other part that's kind of bad. So you don't know what your movements are going to do until you try them. Mm-hmm. So two screens could have very different reactions to you moving or jumping, and it's not consistent. So maybe you shoot the ground, and that moves platforms on one stage, and then you jump and run to the left, and that's how you move platforms in another. So you're never able to apply knowledge to later puzzles because it doesn't build on itself. It's just random every time. That said, there are some very cool mechanics in the game. Like one of the puzzles uses the Vita camera And depending on the color it picks up, red, green, or blue, that's how the platforms move. So that was pretty cool to discover.
That's neat.
Yeah, I actually got up and started wandering
around. What if you're in a
around.
White room like us?
Then you're just effed. Like, that's the other part. You, that's it. You can't go on.
You shut it off until you get to a new room.
Yeah.
Yeah, or if you're on a plane or something, then you can't really play it. And there are a lot of cool things.
That would
just
be the most awkward situation. You're in a plane.
Excuse me.
And you're like, ma'am, can I take a picture of your shirt, please?
Not take a picture. Literally stand here and try to figure this out. And there are some really cool levels with the gyro sensor. So there are a lot of neat ideas. The execution is just kind of wonky.
Well, I'll wait for this to be free when it's on PlayStation Plus at
Here's
some point.
Here's what's insane.
Probably
it's
at lunch.
Free at launch.
Oh,
so it's free right now.
I have this
you
already.
You have this. You can go play it. You can see for yourself what I mean about getting stuck in this game.
Yeah. Why even review it that it's free when it's free?
That's what I said. but I was happy to review it because it's kind of like a reality check when you are really looking forward to a game that you play it and it's like, well, this...
What number of stars did you attach to your review?
3 out of 5, which is decent. It has merits. It's pretty short, about 2 or 3 hours. And apparently there are secrets. I didn't find any, so who knows? there was also a review for Sacred 3, which I was kind of looking forward to. Got 2 out of 5 stars, so they basically took the name and slapped it on a game that did not...
That's kind of what I've heard, yeah. Deep Silver kind of makes me worry about their stewardship of their sequels from here on. Like, say, the next Saints Row or the next Dead Island. But whatever, all right.
I will say that I played it for, like, 20 minutes at a demo, and it was super fun, but apparently that doesn't last. It doesn't change up or get more complicated.
I don't think there were any big previews that we can talk about this week.
Next week's going to be a big one, though.
Well, because, next week is Gamescom, so a lot of information waiting for then.
Yeah.
Oh, I did want to complain real quick. It's just like about the Resident Evil remake and Assassin's Creed Rogue. I spent over 3 hours in panels at Comic-Con expecting both of those games to be announced, and neither were. And then afterwards, I was like, well, I guess they're saving it for Gamescom. Then they don't even announce them at Gamescom. They do it the week before.
Henry, check your privilege.
It was dumb. I didn't specifically expect a Resident Evil remake, but I expected a game to be announced at the World of Capcom as opposed to nothing. Literally not one thing was announced there.
Not a thing.
And I mean, I guess you got to see at least the Templar.
I did get to lay eyes upon her before most of the world and get to watch the really gross Toni Moore.
That was interesting. Huh? But yeah.
What?
The Rob Zombie short film showing Americans just how bloody and gross the French Revolution is.
Because
we have no idea if they don't show it.
They do get stabbed in the eye and stuff. Anyway, you know what? Let's move on to the community segment right after this break. And we're back from the community for the community segment.
Always laughing when we come back from the break.
We're holding our breath.
Community thing.
Is that the new song?
No.
No, you're just making that up.
I'm just making it up.
No, we have one.
Is it really?
Radar.
Oh, yeah.
That is a good song.
The whispering one.
Yeah, we have the whispering one.
So we'll get our sounds back. Willow.
The last week's question was, what's your favorite video game movie, even though they're all terrible? And so let's start from the top here. I'll read the first one. This was EAC73 said, I guess my favorite since I was a kid was the first Pokemon movie. With Mewtwo being my favorite legendary Pokemon still, it was a great extension from the Pokemon cartoon. I saw it on VHS, so I was extremely jealous of a friend of mine who saw it in theater, and he got a promo card of Electrobuzz.
I got all 4 of those promo cards.
Wow.
I went with 4 people, and each of us got one of the cards. And we still have it. I was talking to my brother about this last week, and I was like, do you still have those cards? And I said, go it check the value. No, yeah, yeah. We check the value. They're worth a whopping $5.
Each?
I think
so. That's not bad. Some books sell for less than that.
Yeah, I saw that movie in theaters at the ripe old age of 16. And,
oh, my God.
No, wait. 2000. Sorry, it was 99. Yeah, I was 16.
What were your feelings going in there? It's all kids and their parents.
Eh, I was cool with it. I didn't really care because I had already been to enough. I had been to a Pokemon like live playing thing too.
Wow.
And I was awesome. The oldest person there. They're like 16 is the cutoff. I'm like, cool. I'm
what up?
Hey, I was. I watched it in theaters. I was like 14.
So hey, that's self confidence.
Though
there,
hearing
it's a good trait
that seeing that movie in theaters, like it starts with a Pokemon short, the Pikachu's vacation short.
Uh huh.
Where no words are said, only their names for 15 minutes, and like
the
your
Pokedex
brain,
talks.
Your brain is fried. Your brain is fried by the end of it.
Like now, I have to watch a movie with more of this.
Yeah. All right, Lorenzo.
Winner two said the first Digimon movie with Omnimon versus Diaboromon and all that, with Greymon beating the shit out of Parrotmon. In the beginning, man, I cannot read all these weird.
You're doing pretty good.
I remember going to Blockbuster as a child with my dad and him buying it for me, excited out of my goddamn mind because I had two cassettes of like four episodes of the show.
This is a hard to follow story.
Yeah, I think I still have the old cassette somewhere, but now I watch it online once a year. Wow, that's
like
dedication. Yeah. There's so much nostalgia in the franchise for me that I didn't think anyone would ever be able to malign Digimon in my eyes. And yes, I'm pretty certain Digimon did get its start as a virtual pet Tamagotchi game, so it counts.
I had one of those.
Digimon is a game. Or it's not what I have much fondness for, but and also those names. Names are, you see, like, look.
Diaboromon!
I don't want to start a Pokemon versus Digimon feud here.
You want to go, Henry?
You've already.
But what I'm, I would say there's cleverness to many of the English language Pokemon names. There would never be one called something as stupid as Parrotmon. Parrotmon.
That's the charm of Digimon. It's so freaking stupid, and it knows that it is, and it acts like it is, and it's hilarious.
Though I've heard their anime is actually better than Pokemon's. Like,
I heard it's
better
like
written.
Really adult. Yeah. Like, it's very complex.
There's actually several, like, every season of that show is a different cast, so if you didn't like the other one, you get a brand new one next time.
Interesting.
It's like The Wire. Sort of.
Exactly like The Wire.
Lucas?
Atomizer says, my favorite video game movie is the Doom movie.
Yes.
It has Carl Urban and The Rock. It has the shooting of demon aliens, the exploding of demon aliens, and gruesome death scenes reminiscent of the new Doom video from QuakeCon, which I really wish they would release that online because I want
to
see it.
They just want to make it special for QuakeCon people. So the next year they'll get more people attending because they'll be like, they showed that only to QuakeCon people. It's like footage in Hall H at Comic-Con.
Yeah, I guess so.
And Ashley, why don't you read the winner of this week?
All right. It's not well known, but Yui Boll's House of the Dead had a sequel that aired on Sci-Fi.
Wait, sorry. What's the person's name? You should say the person's name first. So they
Yui
know
Boll?
Turkey
on Rye.
Turkey on Rye.
Turkey on Rye, yes.
Uwe? Is it Uwe?
I think it is Uwe. Sorry. Let's not critique Ashley's everywhere. Let's let her talk. I'm sorry.
I'm going to cry. It's not well known, blah, blah, blah. But Yui Boll's House of the Dead had a sequel that aired on Sci-Fi, and believe it or not, it was pretty good for what it was. While the first movie is terrible because it tried to take itself serious, the second movie was very tongue-in-cheek about its source material and being low budget. It's awful, but in a good, cheap, sci-fi, made-for-TV movie kind of way. It definitely had a Sharknado charm about it. Plus, they yell reload whenever they're, you know, reloading. Brilliant.
That's actually awesome.
Reload!
I do like
reload.
That.
Reload.
There's, in reload. The original House of the Dead film, they have a scene where they in the 40 minutes into the film, they have a scene where they, it's a big shootout, and then they flash back on everything that happened to that point, including the beginning of the shootout in flashback.
Like, for for humor's sake or just
no
it's
to
terrible?
Fill time? Well, that flashback soaked up another 5 minutes of time.
It's like, oh crap!
And also,
we're
they
not
do
meeting.
They do a very very dangerous thing in it, which is like they give them the fake guns that are not shooting bullets, but still. You know, as we know what happened to Brandon Lee, don't assume a bullet won't be loaded in a fake gun or something. But they're like scenes where they're like all walking forward, just firing their guns, like, but some of them are behind each other. Like, their gun is like right next to their the other actor's head, and they're just pulling the trigger.
Like, jeez.
It is dangerous as hell. I also love in the original House of the Dead film that you can see, like, you can. There are zombies. There are no rules to the zombies. Zombies do whatever they want. Like, some are slow moving, some aren't, and there's no explanation why. And there's one scene where they're like jumping around the woods, and you can 100% see the trampoline.
Full view.
And yeah, so that movie sucks. I haven't seen the Sci-Fi Channel one, but Sci-Fi Channel, like,
I'm intrigued.
Sci-Fi Channel had a ton of bad movies before Sharknado came out, but no, we read
God,
that
Sharknado.
There's Sharknado 2.
I feel like that one's trying too
hard.
It got
so much advertising at Comic-Con.
It was everywhere at Comic-Con, and it got 4 million viewers, which is like huge for Mad Men. Doesn't get that many.
I don't know.
The one girl comes back, the one girl who survives throughout that whole movie that I hated so much, I will just scream.
Do you mean Tara Reid?
No, actually. It's some other girl, but she's literally too stupid to live, and yet she continues to live.
She's the one that gets
like
eaten.
A running joke.
She gets eaten and
she's
then carved
Ian,
out of the shark.
Yeah, Ian Ziering pulls her out of the shark. That's right.
Yeah, I'm like, no!
I don't know. The 5 minutes that I watched Sharknado was entertaining. I was just laughing my ass off. Because there's helicopters that are just getting taken down by sharks.
I watched that entire film. None of it makes sense.
Or a guy falls out of a helicopter, and then a shark just goes, rah!
There was like laser-guided tsunami waves. Just like, these people standing like 5 feet away are fine. This guy just gets taken out.
All right, so Turkey on Rye, you're the winner. If you've listened this long and suffered through us talking about Sharknado, then you've really earned a prize. We read the. I feel like you're pointing at it, but you're just running finger around the crease. That'll make sense to listeners. Me, I shouldn't have even brought it up. Anyway, Turkey on Rye, to claim your prize, send an email to radioradar@gamesradar.com.
You sound like you're not sure.
Right.
Sounds
yeah,
right. That's the one. Yep. That's and so you'll win something. And then this week's question of the week, let's do it quick. But what, you know, I'm still feeling the comic bookiness, probably because I watched Guardians of the Galaxy this weekend, like a lot of people.
Yes.
The movie's hella good.
Very, very good. And so it made me think, like, what's your favorite game that is inspired by a comic book?
We had to have done this as a question.
I don't care.
We're doing it again, Lucas.
But not on the Henry show.
Yeah, we might. We very well may have. But I'm going to look at Ashley first, see her response.
I mean, I think you're looking at me because you know the answer is pretty obvious.
Might be, maybe. Well, what is it?
It's going to be The Wolf Among Us. It's going to be the one. Based on Fables, the long-running series about Fable characters who end up in New York. That's actually coming to an end next year. And,
oh, dang.
It's been a very long, long road for that book.
It's like almost 15 years old.
Holy smokes.
But yeah, The Wolf Among Us is great, and everyone should play it. That's all.
I don't have a good, cool answer. I guess, can I go with the Batman Arkham games?
Yeah, it's pretty obvious, but that's cool. Yeah.
I actually like Asylum better than City. I might have talked about that on podcast.
Yeah, I think that's weird.
Yeah, that is a little weird.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Well, look, I get Asylum is a more focused journey.
That's what I like about it. There's not a million distractions as you're running around.
Yeah, I actually 100% completed Asylum, and I still haven't done all the side stuff in City.
So right?
Even though I liked City better.
I did most of the side stuff in City, though. After I got 200 Riddler trophies, I'm like, I think I can just watch the Riddler cutscene on YouTube and be good. Like,
same here.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, Asylum is, I think, also like real estate per capita in Arkham Asylum is more interesting than the places you go altogether are more interesting in Asylum than all the places you can go.
They reflect
in Arkham City.
The characters more, whereas City is just like a city.
Yep.
It's a
gross city.
I'm playing Batman Arkham Origins right now, and I really like it. I don't know why people hate on it.
It is good. It's not it's just more. Like, it's just more Batman, and there's not, the weapons aren't as cool. There aren't as many cool new weapons, and the fighting just seems like 5% worse for some reason.
Really? I found it easier to keep a combo going, which is automatically more fun.
I started it, and then I just went on to play Arkham City again.
I know Dave Houghton felt the combo was like, the combo system was just broken, like flat out broken. He says the rhythm was just, his rhythm was completely off when he played it. Like, mm-hmm. Lorenzo, do you have one?
I'm going to say Spider-Man. One of the Spider-Man games, because I'm kind of just a sucker for the Spider-Man games. I just love to swing around the open cities, and because I've played the Ultimate Spider-Man, Web of Shadows, all the older ones. I haven't played the new movie ones, and I think I'm
in the
You're
right.
Good.
I'm pretty good on that.
Play
so.
Shattered Dimensions, and then if you feel hungry for more Spider, did
I
you
played
play
Shattered Dimensions. I didn't play Edge of Time, which I feel like I'm good on that one too.
I don't know which you'd be. Edge of Time has a more interesting story, but less shit to do. Mm. Well, meanwhile, Amazing Spider-Man has a crappy story, but more things.
Well, it was kind of weird that they had, you know, Shattered Dimensions, which was four Spider-Men's, mans.
Yeah.
And,
no, it is Spider-Men. That is their official, that is Marvel's pluralization of it, Spider-Men.
Spider-Men, and then Edge of Time only has two. Mm-hmm. Which is just kind of
They had to put it out in 9 months while they were also working on the Amazing Spider-Man game that would come out 6 months later.
Good lord.
So that shows you that the fact that they made an at all playable game in Edge of Time is should be applauded. Though I didn't applaud it when I gave it a 3 out of 5. I'm going to quickly go with X-Men Origins Wolverine Adamantium Rage Edition, which was the Xbox 360 and PS3 version, which was, as far as I know, the only M-rated X-Men Wolverine game there was, which is the only way to do Wolvie justice.
Yeah, like, that was a great game.
Wolverine tears people apart with reckless abandon, and you kind of need to see that in a game. Now, there are some bad parts to that game, like the 5 times you fight helicopters. All of those are terrible. And the blob fight isn't so great either. And there's some other problems, too. But when you're just walking around in an empty space and then seven grunts show up and you just have this playground in front of you to rip them to shreds as you take damage and then your skin slowly regrows.
Ooh.
Like,
ooh. Yeah,
it's really cool.
And your clothes will
return when you get back to 100% health, or if you pick up like a health item, like your shirt responds, but normally your pants are more or less intact, you know, probably for rating reasons.
I mean, of course.
But then again, meanwhile, like Hugh Jackman just wants to show off his top bod.
His virtual abs. Yeah. I remember getting, I forget how you unlocked it, but I got the yellow suit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it just kind of looked weird because, you know, he's the Hugh Jackman Wolverine and he's a giant Wolverine, but, you know. It was cool. Mm-hmm. And that costume totally regenerated.
Yeah.
Does he curse in that game?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
He tears people apart. Viciously.
Wolverine's quote from the first X-Men, from X-Men First Class was like, go fuck yourself. Like, that was his quote from that. Wolverine swears.
Is that really going to be like the line, Lucas? Is that the line for you?
Yeah. I like how you got a package in the mail and you're like, I got Shadows of the Darn.
Can I be me, Lorenzo?
Are you going to play that over the weekend?
I'm going to try.
Give it a shot.
Shoot, I should play it over the weekend too, just so we can compare.
You guys can
another
compare
book
notes,
club.
Yeah. Maybe you guys could talk about it.
What did we do
it
that with recently? Oh, yeah, The Wolf Among Us.
Maybe you guys could do that again, or maybe you guys could do that and talk about it on episode 102. Episode 102, which will be the next episode of this show. And whoever, again, I said we lost episode 100. It's the lost episode. I mean, we totally recorded it. I'm not just making it up because we were pressed for time and couldn't do it a proper 100. Certainly not.
That's not a thing you would do.
I mean, of course not.
It's not like you.
No way.
This is too important.
When I promise you guys, I promise, when we have more time and a clear schedule, we'll dig it up. We'll find it. We will find 100.
We sent the hard drives to the FBI. They're going to find the encrypted data. and they're going to restore the MP3 file.
All so for there, you, listeners.
So there will be 100. So look forward to that. Like, now just you can anticipate 100 even longer. Like, isn't that fun? Isn't that fun, guys?
Wee!
But thank all you guys for listening. And be sure to review this on iTunes and follow us, Games Radar, on Twitter and Facebook. Until next time, Radio Radar